Ohio lawmakers have been working to regulate intoxicating hemp products, while Kentucky lawmakers already passed their own legislation. What will the new federal ban on most hemp-derived products mean for those states? You're tuned to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to break this down are Director of Northern Kentucky University's Center on Addiction Law and Policy and Associate Professor of Law, Alex Kreit. Thanks for being here, Alex.
Thanks for having me.
And Cincinnati Enquirer reporter, Haley B. Miller. Welcome back, Haley.
Good to be here.
It's great to have you. Alex, first, how did we end up with all these intoxicating hemp products? I mean, doesn't hemp generally have very low levels of THC?
Yeah, so this really sort of all dates back to a provision in the 2018 Farm Bill that basically sought to distinguish between industrial hemp and marijuana. Up until that point, industrial hemp, you know, which is used for textiles, making those sorts of things, that was defined to be marijuana under federal law. And that was a big problem because even though you could before then go to a store and like buy, you know, a hemp shirt or hemp textile, they were all made abroad. And so the goal of this provision was to allow farmers in the United States to make hemp for industrial uses. But it contained a loophole, essentially, that has allowed for people to make hemp-derived intoxicating products through intoxicating cannabinoids other than Delta-9 THC.
Okay. So they kind of pump them up with more,
exactly.
Of the intoxication. Okay. And Haley, unlike legal marijuana that's sold at dispensaries in Ohio, these products are sold in all kinds of places, right? Tell us about that and whether that's one of the concerns that critics like Governor Mike DeWine has raised.
Yeah, so you can get these products in a variety of places. There are CBD stores, wellness stores that sell a lot of this stuff. But the thing that Governor DeWine likes to point out is that products like this are also available in gas stations, convenience stores, and some businesses are lax about carding people, making sure that someone purchasing, you know, THC gummies, for example, is at least 18 or 21 years old. And DeWine has a lot of concerns about this because he feels like it's too easy for kids to get their hands on this stuff. There's an entirely different universe where in the beverage sector where you have breweries that are selling THC beverages, things like that. That's kind of a different situation overall, but those are some examples of where you can find these products.
Okay. So, Alex, the measure that members of Congress passed to end the government shutdown included a ban on most of these intoxicating hemp products. Can you explain that ban and the kinds of products that it's trying to eliminate?
Yeah, so this ban, and it's important to say, it doesn't go into effect for another year. So it's a ban that, should it go into effect, it would be a year from now. And it's essentially seeking to distinguish between industrial hemp, hemp that's grown for making textiles, those kinds of industrial uses, and to put within the definition of marijuana to recriminalize federally these hemp-derived intoxicating products.
Okay. And is there, doesn't it set a level of some kind in terms of the amount of, is it the amount of THC that can be in these products?
Yeah. And so that kind of goes back to, you know, the original 2018 Farm Bill had a 0.3 Delta-9 THC cap, but the problem was it didn't address any of the other intoxicating cannabinoids. And so this, you know, closes that loophole, essentially. It seeks to close that loophole and effectively make criminal under federal law any of these intoxicating hemp-derived products.
Gotcha. Well, Haley, Ohio's state lawmakers were so close to a deal to regulate these products like marijuana is regulated in the state when the federal ban was passed. What impact did that federal ban have on all those discussions, all the state's efforts?
It really threw a wrinkle in their discussion. It was a curveball that they didn't see coming. And so because of that, before Thanksgiving, they had a marathon legislative session where they dealt with a lot of different issues, but marijuana and hemp were at the forefront of, you know, their conversations all day. And it took them until I think, midnight to finally reach a deal on the legislation, Senate Bill 56, that deals with hemp and marijuana regulations. So the Ohio House ended up passing that, and then the Ohio Senate is expected to take it up next week. But the federal ban definitely complicated things and forced them to take a different direction.
We're talking about the changing state and federal laws regarding intoxicating hemp. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Haley, can you talk more about what's in Senate Bill 56 that the House passed, and you said the Senate's expected to take it up soon? What's going on with that? Does it still aim to regulate intoxicating hemp in some way, or is it more about making changes to the state's adult use cannabis law?
It does both. So on the hemp front, it mirrors the federal ban and requires products that have 0.4 milligrams of THC to be sold in licensed marijuana dispensaries. So that's going to take a lot of the products out of the CBD stores that I mentioned and put them in these dispensaries instead. For beverages, since the federal ban doesn't take effect for a year, breweries and bars and places like that are able to sell THC drinks up to a certain level for the next year. They can sell them for carry out, for on-site consumption. And lawmakers suggested that if something changes at the federal level with THC drinks, that they may revisit it at the state house to, you know, look at the policy again. I think there's generally a belief that the beverage industry is going to be lobbying Congress pretty hard over the next year to get some carve outs that could end up affecting Ohio. On the marijuana front, it makes some changes to the law that voters approved in 2023, deals with things like public smoking. It eliminates some of the legal protections that exist for marijuana consumers. And a big deal for local governments, it finally releases about $100 million in tax revenue that cities with dispensaries have been waiting on.
Well, I want to talk more about a couple of those things. So the public smoking, does that make it clear that about where you can vape and smoke marijuana? Can you go into a little more detail about that?
Yeah. So right now, cannabis falls under Ohio's cigarette smoking ban. So for the most part, you can't smoke marijuana in public right now anyway, but the cigarette smoking ban has exceptions for outdoor patios, hotel rooms, things like that. The Senate Bill 56 would ban smoking anywhere that's not a private residence. So proponents of the original recreational marijuana law see this as a little bit more restrictive, and it certainly goes a little bit farther than the current smoking ban we have in place.
What about those legal protections? What are you talking about there?
Yeah, so right now, Ohio does not allow certain adverse actions to be taken against people solely because they smoke marijuana. So, for example, you can't deny someone an organ transplant because they smoke marijuana. You can't, you know, child custody decisions can't solely be based on someone's marijuana use. And the bill takes away a lot of that. So, you know, people are pretty concerned about that. There are also new restrictions on transporting marijuana. So under the bill, you would not be able to drive in the car with marijuana unless it's stored in your trunk and in its original packaging. And people who violate that could end up with a misdemeanor.
What about even getting public benefits? Is that part of this too?
Yes, I believe so. It definitely applies to unemployment, and there was at least conversations about public benefits in general. I am actually currently trying to figure out if that is still in the new version of the bill or if that was taken out, but that was definitely a concern as well, is that, you know, people couldn't get certain benefits because they use marijuana. Hmm.
Well, Alex, before this federal ban was passed, a lot of states had already adopted laws to regulate these intoxicating hemp products. Explain the regulations that Kentucky passed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know, Kentucky, it's notable, it's different, you know, than Ohio in terms of the state level. And before this federal ban, it really was state by state how they were dealing with regulation. And Kentucky, in 2023, adopted regulations, you know, the kind of regulations that you would have for products that are only available to adults, licensing requirements, you know, registration requirements for anyone who was participating in the marketplace, for retailers who wanted to sell it. Then this past spring, the legislature passed new sort of beefed up, more specific requirements for beverages, intoxicating hemp beverages, instituting sort of like a three-tiered system similar to alcohol, a little bit more of a robust, specific regulatory system for that space.
Okay. Again, we're talking about the changing state and federal laws on intoxicating hemp. If you've got questions or comments, give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. So Kentucky has had all of that in place before this federal ban. What does the federal ban mean for those rules in Kentucky? Does the federal ban, the way it's written now, kind of supersede any all state laws and regulations?
Yeah, so, we have this year, so assuming right. It goes into effect, I think the most likely legal outcome would be very similar to what we have with just marijuana, non-hemp derived, standard sort of marijuana that everyone thinks about when we think about marijuana, between federal and state law, in which it's illegal federally. Right now, marijuana is every bit as illegal federally as it was, 10, 15 years ago. And states that have legalized it, the federal government has, decided as a matter of enforcement discretion to not enforce the federal law. But those state laws exist, right? And so the federal law doesn't supersede it in that sense, right? I suspect, although, obviously there would be court challenges and it would have to be, litigated, but I think the most likely outcome would be that same kind of relationship legally, in which it would be illegal federally. The state laws wouldn't be struck from the books. They would continue to exist, but the federal government at any time could come in and start to enforce the federal law. And that, of course, would, even if the state regulations continued to exist on the books, sort of frustrate these state regulatory systems if the federal government was coming in and prosecuting people.
That's so interesting to me, because if the federal government does in fact kind of treat this ban, if it holds up and goes into effect in a year, like they treat the illegality of marijuana on the federal level, doesn't that sort of defeat the whole purpose of the people who argued for the ban in the first place? If there's this patchwork of regulations where, kids can still get this stuff in some places or what have you.
Well, I think that's sort of what would remain to be seen is, if this goes into effect, would the federal government take the same kind of hands-off approach that it's taken to states that have legalized recreational marijuana? Or would they come in and start prosecuting people regardless of whether there was a state regulatory law? Would they maybe take a middle ground approach in which some states that had robust regulations for intoxicating hemp, the federal government maybe would take a more hands-off approach in enforcement? That's really, I think, sort of the big question mark as to how it would proceed. Because again, right now, for just standard marijuana, marijuana is, illegal federally. It's just kind of been a matter of prosecutorial discretion to not go in and enforce federal law in states that have legalized. The sort of, I think, difference right in the federal realm is that the intoxicating hemp sort of industry has developed because of this loophole in federal law. And so you've had a world in which, under federal law, there was this loophole in which these products were not criminalized federally or regulated federally. And then state by state, some states have implemented state bans, some have implemented state regulations, some have done nothing. And the states that have done nothing have sort of a Wild West type of situation with no regulation. Now you're having a potential federal rebanning coming into this system, which is maybe much more of a patchwork and much more of a different sort of state-by-state situation. Whereas with marijuana, you kind of have states that have made it illegal completely, medical states, and then recreational states, and it's not that much differentiation from state to state in terms of like the specifics of those regulatory regimes.
Mm. So interesting. Haley, this, as we've talked about a couple of times, this federal ban doesn't take effect for a while. It's going to be another year before it would take effect if it does in fact go into effect. Are there any efforts underway, especially by breweries who make these THC seltzers, are they trying to get the law changed so it before it goes into effect, or get an exemption for themselves to so they can sell these products beyond the ban if it does go into effect?
Absolutely. I think, you know, proponents of the hemp market and especially people in the beverage industry are already talking to their members of Congress. I know, you know, those conversations are happening in Ohio already. It's worth remembering that this provision was added into the bill to end the government shutdown. And so I think, you know, there was a sense of we just got to get the shutdown over with and do whatever is necessary to accomplish that. So it wouldn't surprise me if over the next year, you know, members of Congress take another look at this legislation, maybe fine tune it a little bit. This was a priority of folks like Kentucky Senator Mitch McConnell, but I don't think, you know, it was anything that, you know, had massive support or was a big priority issue for Congress until it got paired with the shutdown.
Alex, what do you think? Do you think members of Congress are likely to try to change the ban so that some of these regulated products could be legal again or exempt some products like THC seltzers? What do you think we can look toward?
Yeah, I think we're absolutely, you know, going to see it. I think already seeing sort of efforts from some members of Congress to, you know, prevent the ban from going into effect. I think the question marks really are, will those efforts be successful? And then what specifically might they look like, right? Would it be a system in which the federal government would take would allow for exceptions to federal law for states that had certain types of regulations in place? Would it be a robust federal regulatory system for certain kinds of products? You know, I think that's one of the things where there's a lot of questions about what it would look like, and the questions about what it would look like could, A, make it harder to get something passed, because even if you have broad agreement against a complete ban, if you don't have agreement about what should be in its place, that might make it hard to pass something, and it might just make it take longer, because you could have a lot of debate about exactly what the alternative to a federal ban should look like.
Yeah. Haley, what are you hearing from at the State House in Columbus about where this kind of leaves Ohio lawmakers who want to regulate these products, but they don't know exactly what's going to happen with this federal ban? I mean, is there concern there about exactly how to regulate or what enforcement could look like in Ohio before this ban takes effect, if it does take effect?
Yeah, I think this leaves some uncertainty. You know, there are definitely different opinions on this in the legislature about how to deal with hemp, but a lot of Republicans who consider themselves free market conservatives were really pushing to create a reasonably regulated market for the hemp industry. And I think for those folks, the federal ban was a little bit of a setback, but it's become pretty clear that among those lawmakers in particular, that the beverages are a pretty big deal. So I think if they have the opportunity to revisit beverages over the next year, that they will certainly try to have those conversations and maybe get some new rules on the books.
And Alex, do you have thoughts on how this will affect states generally to have this kind of federal ban looming? It hasn't taken effect yet, but then there's this question of, will the feds enforce it? Like, will it be treated like marijuana? What does that mean for state lawmakers across the country?
Yeah, I think that for state lawmakers, it does create a lot more uncertainty, particularly for any state that hasn't yet adopted regulations or that maybe had adopted regulations but were considering new ones, because you are kind of not only dealing with the world in which a year from now you might have a federal ban, but if you don't have a federal ban, you don't have really any certainty about exactly what you would have in its place, right? So, you know, if you're a state lawmaker and you're thinking about how to regulate these products, you also have to be in the back of your mind thinking, well, not only could there be a ban, but there might be a federal regulation in place a year from now that differs from what we pass in some way, right? So that makes things, I think, pretty complicated for states and for state lawmakers, and certainly for anyone in the industry, you know, who is working in this space, a lot of uncertainty as well.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned the industry. It's a big industry now. There are a lot of jobs tied up in this, right?
Yeah. And especially, you know, Kentucky in particular. I think they're, you know, and I think that is something that could make it more likely to get something other than a ban in place federally, because there are a lot of people with existing businesses, and you know, they're certainly in touch with their representatives saying, hey, this is going to be a negative impact in your district because of X, Y, and Z business repercussion.
Right. Well, I've been talking with Director of Northern Kentucky University's Center on Addiction Law and Policy and Associate Professor of Law, Alex Kreit, and Cincinnati Enquirer reporter, Haley B. Miller. Thank you both so much for your time today. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Harper Carlton. Technical director today is Ella Rowan. I'm Lucy May. Thanks for listening.